I brought you all a present today. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the kingdom of heaven. And I should give this credit to Kevin because he's the one that is going to give you the present because he printed these this morning. So after church, you can grab one of these out front if you'd like. It has every verse in the Bible where it says the phrase kingdom of heaven. And they're all found in the book of Matthew, just so you know. And if you were at camp meeting a few years ago, there was someone who spoke a little bit about that. And I was very interested in that. And so we started to, we've been looking at that a little bit in our young adult class. And it's really been interesting to see all the places in Matthew where Jesus uses that phrase. And another book that I'd like to recommend to you is this little book called Christ Object Lessons, because in this book, Ellen White talks about all those places where it uses the word kingdom of heaven. There's also the phrase kingdom of God, and you'll find that too in more than just the book of Matthew, but Matthew liked that phrase kingdom of heaven. So let's pray before we look at the kingdom of heaven today. Lord Jesus, this morning as we look into your word, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Lord, your spirit is the only way we can understand your word. And so as we look into your word, we pray that your spirit would reveal your truth to us. Lord, we want to draw closer to you today. We want to thank you for life today. We want to thank you for giving us your living word. And so as we open your word this morning, please make it alive for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look mostly at Matthew chapter 25 today, but we're going to go to Matthew chapter 24 first, because it's kind of the preface to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 24 is a chapter that talks a lot about the signs of the second coming. And one of the parts of this chapter that I would like us to just take a quick minute, just a quick look at, it's found from verses 35 to 41. Matthew 24, 35 to 41. It says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And then, no one knows the day or the hour, even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. And then it says that the coming of the Son of Man will be like the days of Noah. I grew up in a church that was, I grew up in a Presbyterian church. I went there all my life until I went to PUC. And I heard a few new things there. A lot of new things, actually. But I really appreciated the time I grew up in the church. My family, it was a great place for my family and I to go. It's where I became a Christian. But there was something there that was kind of bugged me. And I don't know if any of you ever had this bother you, but what bugged me is that the church I went to believed in this term called the rapture. And it was always very unsettling to my heart. And I just really had trouble with it. And one time I was, we'll look at what the scripture says in it. But one time I was at this retreat. It was over by Santa Cruz at a place called Mount Hermon. And I remember that I was, have you been to Mount Hermon? Oh, okay. Well, you know where Mount Hermon is. So anyway, I was there and this really well-known guy was speaking there. His name was Henry Martin. And it was a weekend on apologetics. And I was just really, really troubled. He was talking about this rapture thing and how some would be left and some would be taken. And what would happen when those that were left behind. In fact, there was Tim LaHaye did a whole series of books called Left Behind, I think, series. And I walked back to my dorm room when we had a break. And on the way back, it was deathly quiet. I didn't hear anybody. There was not a voice, not a car sound, nothing. And all of a sudden I went, no, it's been the rapture and I got left behind. I did. I was just scared. I was just troubled. And so I ran back to the conference center, and there were still people there, and I thought, they got left behind too. And I was just scared, and I went in there, and I'm looking around, I'm going, they couldn't have all got left behind, because I knew some of these people were really sincere Christians. And I thought, I got to get this straight. I got to figure this out. And you know, when I went to PUC, I had a teacher. His name was Irwin Gain, and he showed me what this meant. So let's look. And you know, it's already 12:05. I don't know how far we're going to get here today. Anyway, okay, so it says, verse 37, the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. Okay, who got in the ark? Noah got in the ark, right? And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. So who got took away? Noah didn't get taken away. Everybody that wasn't in the ark got taken away, right? So I thought, it's backwards. They got it backwards. Okay, look what it says here. It says, and this is a verse that's always used in favor of the rapture. It says, then there, verse 40, it says, there will be two men in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women at the grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. And I thought, so who really gets taken? The ones that are taken and swept away were those that refused to believe in what the signs that God had given. The ark, that was a pretty big sign, wasn't it? So I thought to myself, I've had it backwards all these years. So Jesus is coming back to get us, and he's not going to leave any one of us behind. Can you believe that? Jesus is going to come back and get us. He's not going to leave any one of us behind. There will be a big bunch of stuff going on, but trust that Jesus is there for you, and he won't leave you behind. And so, if you go to verse 42, it says, therefore be on the alert, for you don't know which day our Lord is coming. In verse 44, it says, for this reason, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not think. And then verse 46, blessed is the slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Keep busy. Jesus wants us to keep busy. You know why Jesus wants us to keep busy? Because he doesn't want anybody left out. And we are his busybodies to let everybody know that he's coming back soon. So let's keep busy doing that. So with that in mind, now we're going to go to chapter 25. And we're going to look at three parables today. We're going to look at a parable of 10 ladies, the 10 virgins. We're going to look at the parable of the talents. And we're going to look at the parable of the sheep and the goats. And we're going to look at all those together because I think they're all linked up together. I don't think they're really separatable. I think they all go together. So I sat down, I started reading this. I was getting my haircut yesterday. Last time I preached, I got my haircut, didn't I? I didn't fall asleep this time. And I was reading, and I was just sucking this up because I hadn't read this for a while, and I was just really enjoying it. And so I just want to encourage you, just grab this book this afternoon. Go to those chapters. They're really pretty interesting. So when we look here, it says, the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 virgins. And they went out to meet the bridegroom. The bridegroom is Jesus. And it says 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. And the foolish took their lamps and they took no oil. So all they had was what was in their lamps. They had a little bit of oil in their lamps. And the lamps back then were kind of small. And then it says that the prudent took oil in a separate little container or flask. And it says, now the bridegroom was delaying. And they got drowsy and they all began to sleep. You know, I don't understand why Jesus hasn't come back yet. But it's been a little bit of a long time, hasn't it? It's 2,000 years. almost 2,000 years. Don't you think he should have just come back by now? I wish he'd come back by now. In fact, I just wish he comes back soon because this world is really messed up. And so then at midnight, there was a shout, and Jesus, the bridegroom, is coming back. And then what happens? There's everybody wakes up because things are getting busy. And there's the two groups. There's five people that now have a lamp that's run out of oil, and there's five people that have a lamp, and they pour the extra oil in their lamp so that they can have their light ready when Jesus comes, when the bridegroom comes. The difference between the people that didn't have extra oil and the people that did have extra oil, it's not really very apparent in the beginning. But as time goes on, it becomes very apparent because the people that didn't have any oil, they say, "Can I borrow some of your oil?" And the others say, "You can't have my oil. This is my oil. You got to go get your own oil because you can't just get that oil anywhere. You got to go to the store and get that oil." So the scripture is full of little, what we call a metaphor or an analogy. So what do you think the analogy of the lamp is? Anybody have any idea? The lamp. The oil is the Holy Spirit. The lamp is in the Word of God, the living Word. So we have this lamp, and this lamp can only be lit, can only burn brightly when we pour the oil in it. And so we have this example in the scripture that if we are going to have a bright light in our life, we have to continually add oil to that lamp. It's not going to just light itself. And to think that we can just light our own lives spiritually is a great misconception. The only way we can light our lives is to take in God's word. But again, the only way to understand the word is to ask for the Spirit. So there's this combination, reading God's word, asking for the Holy Spirit to help us understand. And you know what happens when we do that? It's just like when we were praying this morning. We do that on a regular basis. We develop a relationship. And that relationship is with Jesus. And that's what the five virgins had. They had a relationship with Jesus. The other people believed in God, but they didn't have that oil in their life all the time. And so when it came time for some struggles in their life, they just didn't have that light. And we need that light. We can't make it without that light. And if you've ever had a time in your life where you felt like you didn't have the light, you know what I'm talking about. Because I've had those times. In fact, those times are the worst times in life. But if you go to Romans chapter 5 with me for a minute, you will see something that's very interesting. You see, Jesus never promised us a rose garden. I knew the lady that sang that song. That was a while ago, wasn't it? She went to high school the same time I did. That was a really long time ago. Okay, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have obtained an introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we exult in our tribulations." You see, the virgins were having some tribulation right then, because they were waiting, and when we wait, the longer we wait, there's more tribulation. But tribulation brings out perseverance, and perseverance does what? Brings out proven character, and proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint. Remember, Jesus is not going to disappoint us, but there will be trials. But did you know that there's one thing that you get to take to heaven, Ashley? One thing. What do you think that one thing you get to take to heaven is? Do you think it's your dolly? No. Do you think it's the glasses that you have on? No. Oh, maybe it's that hair bow that you're wearing today. No. You get to take to heaven the relationship that you've developed with Jesus Christ. And that's what we call our character, because all of the things that happen in our entire life make up our character. And if we choose to separate ourselves from Jesus Christ, we're going to have a character that's not going to be going to heaven. I can guarantee you that. But if we choose to stay close to Jesus Christ, we're going to have a character that's going to be precious. And each one of us are kind of characters. I mean, we use that term. And we all are unique. And I think that uniqueness will remain in heaven. But the one thing that we all have in common is we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we wouldn't be sitting in this room. But we need to have an intimate, active relationship with Jesus Christ. And I can tell you that when I skip having God and prayer and Bible study in my life, that relationship withers and it's not as strong. I still have a knowledge of God, but an intimate knowledge and a relationship with God is what makes the difference. And remember in chapter 40 or 24, it says, you must be ready. That's what being ready is having that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And character is not transferable. It only goes with you because everybody has a unique character. You know what's really cool about the five virgins that had their light, had their oil? Their light shone very brightly. And when the bridegroom came, they helped show off the bridegroom so that they went into the party together. And we as Christians have an opportunity to show off the bridegroom in our lives by how we live our lives. Because it's not possible to be studying God's word on a regular basis and praying and being in a relationship with Jesus Christ without seeing the needs that are going on in our world. It's not possible to hold it inside. In fact, some people... Oh, I'm not going to say this. I'm just not going to say this. Sorry, I've got a little off track there. You just have to make it known. You just can't help yourself. And yesterday I was at my office and I was chatting with someone and we were talking and it was kind of the end of the day, and this last person I was going to see for the day, and then I was going to come over here and get my hair cut. And one of my staff members was leaving, and I said, "Don't forget my birthday," because my birthday's on Monday. It's also Ed Moore Jr.'s birthday on Monday, and it's Donnie Moore's birthday on Monday, too. And it's Zach Page's birthday on Monday. And it's Moffy Schmidt's birthday on Monday, and it's also Jane Steen's birthday on Monday. So just to remember, Monday's a very, very, very popular birthday day around here. And so the lady says to me, she goes, "Can I ask you a personal question?" And I thought, she wants to know how old I am. So I said, "Oh, I'm going to be 59 on Monday." And she goes, "That's not what I wanted to know." I thought, "Crumb, I let it out. How old am I going to be?" And she said, "Can you look at my tooth too?" And I said, "Sure, hop in the chair." So we looked at her tooth. But she said, "You know, I need someone that can help me with my teeth." And that's the gift that God has given me. I'm really good with my hands. I can hold that little tool in my hands really careful. But some of us are really good with a hammer, like Jim Gilbert. He could hammer nails good, and he can make electric wires let light come out of them. I don't know how you do that, but I never have understood electricity, except that when you touch it wrong, you know that it's there. You know how that is? But I do understand about teeth. And so each one of us has a special gift that God has given us. And that's where we transfer into the talents, you see. The virgins, they were to allow their light shine. And so Jesus said, you know, there's talents in every one of us. Like you two young ladies that played the piano this morning, that was just the most beautiful thing. Thank you so much for doing that. You know what? I tried to learn how to play the guitar one time. But somewhere along the line, I missed that rhythm part. You know, I'm pretty good with my hand, so I can get that chord right. But this other hand, it just doesn't do what it's supposed to do. And when Mona's up there playing the guitar, I don't know how she gets this hand and this hand to work together. I'm definitely not in that realm. Maybe it's because I learned too late. But I don't think that's the way it is with God's Spirit. You see, when you become a Christian, and there we have a few new church members. We have Connor and Cassandra back there. I just want you to know that when you went in the tank the other day, God decided that he was going to give you something that you wouldn't be able to do unless you were in relationship with him. But because now that you're in relationship with him, he's going to supercharge you so that you can do something that you would never be able to do without God in your life. You see, when we have God in our life, we do things from a different perspective. But God orchestrates things that would never happen. You see, I could just be a worldly dentist. I can be a good dentist, but I can't be a dentist that God can use unless I let God use me, right? So, the difference, that's the difference between using a talent for God. It can be money. A lot of people have a good way of making money. Some people really know how to make money. But you know what? If you keep your money for yourself, that's not a godly thing. That's just selfishness. And so God wants us to use our money for him. Time. Some people have extra time. I mean, we all have the same amount of time, but other people know how to use their time better. Some people know how to sing, and it just draws us closer to God. Whatever talent God has given you, make sure you use it. Do not bury it in the ground, like it says in chapter 25, that one guy that got one talent, he just was afraid, and so he stuck it in the ground. You know, talented people don't stick their stuff in the ground, unless you're a gardener, and then you know how to do that. Now, remember, there's a verse here. It says, verse 14, it says, just like the man was to go on a journey, he called his slaves. Do you mind being called a slave? I think being a slave for Jesus Christ is the best job on earth. And you know what? I think we all have a pretty good master that's giving us a pretty good deal. You know, he comes and he gives us 10 talents. I mean, what slave gets anything? I mean, he gives you 10 talents and he says, go out and use them. And then it says in Christ Object Lessons that if you are 100% committed, Jesus is 100% committed to double your potential. You see, we can never reach our potential for Jesus Christ by ourselves, only with Jesus Christ. And so service, it also says in Christ's Object Lesson that service helps improve our character. So that's why I go to Honduras. You see, on Wednesday night, some of us are going to be heading off to Honduras to work on service. And Mike Vogel, I can tell you one thing, that's where Mike Vogel shines. Because he is a service animal. And I am so glad he's going with us. And Donnie Moore's going with us this year too. Kevin's going with us. Next year, we need a few more from our church. We have a little bit low from our church this year. But a bunch of other people, I have three girls from the Mariposa High School, and they don't have a clue of what's going to happen to them this next week. But if you've been in Honduras, you know what's going to happen, that you're going to... When they get down there, one of them hasn't even been on an airplane. Can you believe that? How many in your room haven't been on an airplane? Anybody? Oh, next year. There we go. You see, when you get on an airplane and you go to Honduras, something funny happens. What really happens is you get around wonderful people and you see true Christian community in action. You see that koinonia life happening in action. And that's what God uses. You see, when we all put our talents together, God uses all of that to make it really happen. And that's where Jesus goes to the last parable. He says in verse 34, the king is going to say to those, this is where the sheep and the goats thing. Have you ever seen that thing on the internet about fainting goats? Have you ever seen that? I was going to show that this morning. And everybody laughed when I said, isn't it the funniest thing? You scare them and they go, like this, they have this myotonia something or rather, and they fall over because they freeze. Do you know that actually that people can get that? I saw a person with that on the internet, not for real, but I saw a cat with it too. You ever scare a cat and a cat just falls over? It really looks kind of funny, but it's really a horrible thing. But it's funny when it's a goat because they're okay most of the time. But if you scare them, they just stand and they fall over. And so I thought to myself, am I a goat or am I a sheep? You know what? I don't want to be a goat. Because goats, I don't know, they're just not sheep. And Jesus said, we're sheep, right? And what's the difference between a goat and a sheep? Do you know? You know the difference? Goat smell? I think sheep smell too. What? Goats lead, huh? Goats get out there and go on their own, don't they? You see, we're really sheep. But it's okay to be a sheep, even though sheep aren't that smart. They know the voice of their master, that's right. So this is an interesting, I want you to listen to this phrase here. It says, the silent witness is almost an irresistible influence. It says, they that love God supremely and their neighbor as themselves, when people do this, then and they love their neighbor as themselves, the church will have power to change the world. You see, God wants us to be the people that he uses to change the world. And God has a couple of things that I see in these parables. One is that God cares about our character. He wants us to be close to him. He wants to change us into his image because he wants a relationship with us. The other thing is that God cares about your ministry. And we were created for ministry. We were not created for anything else except to praise God and to share his good news with the rest of the world. That's what it's all about. You can do whatever job you want, but if it doesn't praise God and draw others to him, then you're missing. You need to get a little bit closer to God and figure out what's going on. And God cares about our influence. He cares about who we come in contact with. In fact, he orchestrates it so that we come in contact with the right people at the right time. And God cares about every single person in this world. He cares about the person that's hitchhiking along the road. He cares about the person that has everything they need. He cares about everybody in between. And God wants us to be his light and to be a part of that. And so I want to encourage you this week, go grab Christ Object Lessons, look at that. And if you want to take one of those Kingdom of Heaven things and go glance through them, when you do, just say, God, what is this Kingdom of Heaven thing really about? What is it that you really want me to do and be a part of in this Kingdom of Heaven? And I think you'd be surprised because God's going to talk to you and tell you exactly what he has in mind for you. And he has a lot in mind for all of us because God's a big guy and he's really all about making a difference in our lives. So I ask you to pray for us as we go to Honduras. Keep us in mind. We'll try to get on Skype with you maybe next weekend or the weekend after on Sabbath. We'll try to get on board if we can pull that off. You guys were able to see us last year, was that right? And just be proud to be a sheep this week. Be proud to be a sheep in Jesus' fold. And snuggle up with the shepherd this week. Let him teach you a few things and then go out and share it with somebody else this week, okay? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, today, thank you so much for warning us about your soon coming. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word so we can stay close to you and not be fooled and not get it backwards. Lord, thank you that you've given us enough oil for us and to just light the world so others can see you. Lord, help us to think about wherever we are, whatever we're doing this week, that we can be a light for someone else to get a glimpse of your great love for them. And Lord, if we've gotten a little bit out of touch with you this week, I just pray you just get us back in touch with you this week. Get us close to you and help us, Lord, to get reinvigorated and give us some more oil because we need that oil each day. And Lord, I just pray you'd be with each person this day. Help them just to know you're there with them. In all things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.